Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that what I say would be what you would have me say, that they be your words. I ask, Lord, that I might diminish, that you might increase, that you might be glorified in all of our lives. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. Let me start by saying it's a joy to be back here with you to worship. Denise and I have been commenting in the last few weeks, Annette, that it would be nice if there wasn't so much distance between Courtney and Parksville so that we could be here every week, Annette, just to sit in the pew and to worship with you and to listen to what the Lord has to say through Father Bill. I was up at 5:30 this morning, 20 after 5, to take some medication and got up again at 7. That's early for an old man. But I'm glad to come and to be here, and that so that I know Father Bill has tremendously enjoyed the ACNA assembly and that in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. I got North. I confuse myself whether it's North or South Carolina, but I know that with it ending yesterday, that there was absolutely no way he could be from there to here unless the Lord transported him himself rather than an airplane. It's very convenient if you live on the eastern side of North America to do that, but not for those of us in that who live in paradise. So I've given much thought and much prayer this last week and that to what I should talk about and this morning, and I thought the Lord said on the way up and that I should ask you a question as I begin, and that's to find out how many of you know who Oscar Wilde is. Okay, I can use this sermon. I want to talk in that firstly in that on the epistle and then tie a few things in from the gospel in that as we conclude. In the epistle in that it says, God is love. That's something that you and I believe. We accept it. We just take it for granted that God is love, don't we? But Oscar Wilde, who was not only an Irish dramatist, he was a poet and he was a wit. He looked and then he said, and at all the suffering in the world that he saw, and he didn't, you could see that in any lane in London where he lived. And he said, God's love is something that's fanciful. It's not fact. Because of all of the suffering. Now that leads us to a question. Was Oscar Wilde right? Or was he wrong? When we have good times and everything is going along easily, we find it no problem to say God is love. But you know, when things are going rough, the tough times, it's a little harder, isn't it? And we're living in an age right now, on a time, that things are pretty tough. And it may be really hard for some people to say and to mean and to understand that God is love. In fact, some people in our society would absolutely choke upon those words. Really hard, especially when we've had in our own country so many soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan. But thinking that if you're a parent and your son or your daughter was killed by a roadside bomb by one of the insurgents, really hard when you're dealing with that to say God is love. And it's really hard if the person that you love and you have spent 30, 40, 50 years with, and who had a great mind and a shining wit, if the wick of that mind starts to twist because of Alzheimer's disease, where you can go and be with them, but they have no idea that you're there, that they are a shell of their former self. It's hard, not easy. Or you're a young mom and your child's abducted and then killed by a stranger for no reason whatsoever. Or like that young girl that was held for 180 days by the neighbor in a sort of tomb underneath his garage. And was only caught because the wife thought there was something wrong with him and called the police, and they went into the garage as he was emerging from there half naked. In those instances, people find it hard to say God is love. When we look from our world of affluence to places like Ethiopia and Somalia and Sudan, where we see such famine, where other places we see such violence, all we have to do is look at Syria today. And I'm not going to say who's at fault there or not, but a government and other rebels and maybe even terrorists using that situation to spread hatred by killing innocent people, especially the slaughter of the children. Or those in that which is easier for us to comprehend in a way, who find that they're unemployed and they're now at an age in that people say, I'm sorry, I don't have a job for you because you're 50 years of age, you're too old, you're too overqualified. You wouldn't stay more than 6 months because you'd always be looking for a job for which you're more qualified. Yet you have a mortgage to pay. You have children to feed and clothe. And then you have foreclosure. Kind of hard to say that God is love. Is it possible to sit in the center of our own universe and ask God or dare God to explain himself? Robert Frost spoke to a distant star saying, "Use language we can comprehend. Tell us what elements you blend." And like Robert Frost's star, God may seem to give us strangely little aid. No clear answer to our hardest questions, no settled way of salvation, and out there somewhere far away from heaven's white light, a grave for all our bright hopes with the heavy earth falling. We ask, is that it? And if that is it, no wonder. We wonder why? When a husband and wife have troubles and they seem to be parting and separating and going their separate ways, one might ask, why has this marriage soured? We might ask, why has learning lost its thrill? Why has love lost its value? If God is love, there ought to be some payoff for those of us who believe that he is. There needs to be something. It leads us to ask another question. Could it be that God will not define the divine love in ways that suit us, in words and actions that appeal to our normal natural instincts? After all, those of us in that who can think back to the 60s and 70s, and that love was a warm fuzzy. Now, that doesn't really have much value, really, does it? But it's better than a cold prickly. In the 80s, love was romantic again. It was roses and candlelight, tuxedos and evening gowns. We missed that, dear. The tuxedo bit. And a limousine to take you to the prom. Oh, that's why I missed it, because I graduated in the 60s. In the 90s, love, and now, love has to be made of sterner stuff. Yet, love seems to be fickle to so many people. Love has to work hard to keep people from harm's way. After all, look at what we experience, or people experience in our world. Unless, of course, they live in paradise on Vancouver Island. Hurricanes. You know, down in Florida, you experience lots of hurricanes with mass destruction. The tornadoes and that have swept across the United States and destroyed communities, utterly left mass destruction. Tidal waves, tsunamis like we experienced in that on Boxing Day a few years ago in Southeast Asia. The famine and starvation in Africa. The ethnic war and cleansing that happened in Bosnia and Herzegovina and Rwanda. And even looking at our own country of Canada, in the prairies, the drought that has been experienced in the last few years. Talking about drought again in Manitoba this year. Seems down in Winnipeg and that it's either drought and that or else the river's flooding. And they cut holes in the river so that it floods all this farmland. Makes no sense. Or the homelessness. Don't have to go to Vancouver to see homeless people. They're right here in Courtney. I know even Parksville has homeless people. Because in the wintertime, we have a shelter that's opened up in that if it gets cold enough for them to go to overnight. And think of the people who are living way beyond their means and seem to care less. I know somebody who tells me that they're about to lose their business. If they lose their business, they could lose their home because they're so far in debt. But talking to some of the financial experts I know, they tell me that of people who have 5 and 6 credit cards, 5 are maxed out, and the 6th one is used to pay the minimum payment on the other 5. And yet they just keep on going on the same route. And we sort of wonder, what is going to set them free? How will they be delivered? What will God do? See, in all of this, we look for a logic that comes out of our mind. And we plead for that logic to love and to understand. Yet, the answer that God gives is what the world would see as illogical, that of sacrifice, suffering, forgiveness, and death. It's like the homeless who has nowhere to lay his head. In sacrifice, suffering, forgiveness, and death, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And how did He love us? And how does He love us? He loves us with Jesus, the Christ, His Son, who took upon Himself our sin and the sin of all people that will turn to Him, and died upon a cross. A death that was so wretched, more wretched than any other type of death, with a deep silence. He yelled out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God could not look upon sin. And at that moment, Jesus was utterly by Himself. And then He gave up His spirit and He died. And there was great grief. There is great grief when somebody dies. But God is love. Again, God is love. God loves us. That is the heart and the soul of the gospel. God loves us not on our terms, but on His own. Not according to our wants, but according to the measure of His divine grace. Now I can tell you from my own personal experience, there are times that I wish God would love us based on what I would like and upon what I want. Doesn't happen. Denise and I both said that God give us $500,000 so we can come up to Courtney and that and buy a patio home and put some furniture in it so we can come up here and live here every weekend so we can come to church at the Living Word. And then we can go down to Parksville and that during the week to fulfill our commitments down there to the to the Legion and the Ladies Auxiliary and other areas that were involved in the community. God ain't going to give it to us. So we have to find other ways. And then there are times that we ask for far less than God wants to give us. Wanting an answer to the riddle of life. And there is a riddle to life. But in asking, what they get is they get life. They don't get the answer. They get life. They're given life. They want deliverance from death. Nobody wants to die. Especially if you're younger. And we don't want to see any young person die or a young mom die and that when there's young children at home. You know, when they have cancer. And yet, seeking that deliverance from death, there is no deliverance from it because we all must die. But God brings us through death into the divine presence. So death is not, although not inevitable, is not loveless. People want everything to be easy. They want things handed to them on a silver platter. Life isn't like that. But that's where our society is today in so many ways. What do we get instead? We get a great adventure. A great adventure with God. You know, there are homeless, there are hungry people. There are refugees to be cared for. There are victims of natural and human disasters. And we want God to guard them from further harm. They want, like, things to make them happy. But what good does God give them? He gives them himself and each other. That's a great gift. George Arthur Buttrick, who is a great Presbyterian preacher, said, "We ask, what's the use of religion? But God does not use us, and we may not use God. The use is to save us from the utilitarian blasphemy of asking, what's the use of religion? Instead, we ask, what's love's bottom line?" In other words, love as men and women often think of it today, and as you and I perhaps would have if we could have our druthers, is not God. Instead, God made known to us in Jesus Christ is love. God defines love. Our varied understandings of love do not define God. Love is something God does to us, among us, with us, and for us. With love, God makes us a divine possession, each of us and all of us together. If you want to see God's love in action, we need to look around us. For God's love in action is what has brought us all together and makes us a church. A church is not the building. A church is the body of Christ. It is you and me as brothers and sisters together, loving and caring for each other, walking with each other through the trials and tribulations and the difficulties of life and through the joys of life. God's love is not a private possession, but it is God's public possession of all of us. For better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, though death us do part, God loves us. And out of that, we can love one another. We will never do it as well as God loves us, because we're not God. We're human. We have our failings. And our affections and our cares one for another run hot and cold. There are some times and some days and that we may not want to have anything to do with certain people, or we may not want to do anything. We just want to close in on our own little area. Our caring for one another is not definitive. Now and then, people have been known to take up their lives for their friends. How many of us would lay down our life for a friend? It has happened. It has been done. And there are other things in that we may lay down for a friend. There was a story on global news in that just the other week in that of a man who had never met this fellow but gave one of his kidneys so that he might have life. And they met just before that surgery. And now they are intertwined one with another in the caring and the bond that God has created by that sacrificial gift, which is a gift of love. How often are we tempted to pray, "Not thy will, God, but mine be done"? Remember when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but thine." And how often do we want to turn that around to say, we want our will done, not his? Because at times we want to duck what love requires in order to be known. We need that lifelong, life-deep devotion to others' well-being. There are times that we encase ourselves in a shell of self-concern, yet despite that, despite fearing to risk to love, there seeps in a need that somehow cannot be neglected, a claim that cannot be refused, an offer of friendship that for pity's sake cannot be turned down, something that instead of making life bearable, makes it inescapable, and God has us. For God's own glory and our neighbor's good, however vacillating our affections, if we love one another, even if we love one another just a little bit, God abides in us, and God's love is perfected in us. Think of it. God perfects or brings to completion the circle of divine caring in you and in me, in the fellowship of the church, in the midst of the world, in flesh and blood and muscle, in what a poet somewhere has called the clash and scratch of dirt. God's love is as close as the heartbeat of the person sitting next to you in the pew. It is as hearty as a handshake and the passing of the peace. It is as tight and tender as an embrace. At the beginning, I said Oscar Wilde once said there was enough suffering in any London lane to show that God's love is fancy, not fact. Yet toward that fancy, Oscar Wilde came at last to stretch out his arms. And in a poem he wrote, "Come down, O Christ, and help me reach thy hand, for I am drowning in a stormier sea than Simon on the Lake of Galilee." So Christ came down, not this time to calm the storm, but to steady the man in the midst of it, for Oscar Wilde was left to die. In exile, poverty, and disrepute for a breach of Victorian morality, no longer was he the extraordinarily popular Irish dramatist, poet, and wit. Yet, in the end, he recognized that he needed Christ. And he needed that love and that sacrifice of his. So Christ comes down to where the most neglected or abused or disreputable or grief-stricken hurt is today. Down to the streets of cities and towns like Sarajevo, Damascus, Montreal. Down to where people cry, "Why?" He comes to this sanctuary and to this pulpit too, to speak to us with the rugged, wonderful words of Scripture and with the sometimes clumsy, sometimes eloquent words of preachers. He comes in unspeakable joy, for he loves us, and in pain, for he knows us as we are, with a peace that passes understanding. In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and God's love is perfected in us. That, my friends, is what it's all about. The rich man didn't get it. In that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, it shows that judgment comes now. That at death, the book of opportunity closes. That all we need to know Christ and to know God and to know his love and to be able to dwell in his love is contained in God's most holy and precious word. As we read God's word, as we study God's word, as we dwell upon God's word on our own and in the worship of God's word here in church, of God through his word in church, we may know and we may follow that truth. And we can dwell in the love of God. And we can express that love of God one for another. And to do so, we need to invite Jesus Christ into our heart anew each and every day to be our Lord and our Savior, to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that he might be glorified in us and through us, so that we might go out into the community to witness to God's love to those that would say the same thing as Oscar Wilde because they have not experienced that love. They will only experience that love through you and I allowing that love that of God that dwells in us to flow through us out to them. That is what we are called to do. That will glorify God And his church will be built and will be stronger rather than just the shuffling of the saints from one church to another. Our job is to work with our brothers and sisters who know and love Jesus Christ to bring that good news to those who do not, to those who are lost and suffering in our community. May we be so filled with that love of God that wherever we go, it will just ooze out. No matter how much we may want to hold it in, it'll just ooze and seep out, and others will see there's something about us. And my friends, as they see that, let us be a friend, make a friend, and then introduce them to our friend Jesus. It's a great privilege, and I love doing it. Just ask those in that where I go for coffee or go to have a meal how much I do sharing with them and show them that love. May God bless us now and always in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.